a word from God this morning. This lesson is meant to be encouraging and edifying. And I have titled it, Arm Yourself. We need to arm ourselves. As we Christians live in this world, we don't arm ourselves as the world does, with deceitful ways, lies of a forked tongue, drugs, violence, backbiting, guns, knives, and wars. In addition, as Christians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Ephesians 6 and 12. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles the way the world does. This is not a weekend war that we walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Do you recognize just how vulnerable we are to spiritual failure and destruction? Probably not. In Ernest Hemingway's book, The Sun Also Rises, a man of poor moral character is asked how he went bankrupt. His reply was two ways, gradually and suddenly. This is often the strategy used against us by Satan. Gradually, we move away from God. No big dramatic denials of God needs to take place. We simply live more and more of our lives as though God has nothing to say to those parts of our life. We don't look that different. We don't sound that bad. We don't think of ourselves, what did I say? We don't think of ourselves as all that simple. That's sad. It's truly sad. And then the bottom falls out from under us and there's no firm ground underneath. We spiral down in a spiritual collapse that can cost us our jobs, our marriages, our health, even our salvation. How did it happen? Gradually and slowly. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against a war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our war are not carnal, but mighty in God, by pulling down strongholds, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what we're trying to get rid of. Anything that works against the word of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have to be obedient to the word of God. We have to set the standard by using the word of God. We can't lean to our own understanding. Paul is trying to open our eyes to a major spiritual truth. We have an enemy that seeks our spiritual destruction. The Bible calls this enemy the devil, Satan, Prince of Darkness, the evil one, just to name a few. The Christian life is not to be reduced to snuggling up into the coziness of God's love. Although that's often where we begin as children. When we grow up in the faith, we better understand that being a Christ follower means suiting up for a spiritual battle that will last a lifetime. The battle just starts once you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian can be wonderful, like being filled with God's peace and so thankful for His grace and forgiveness. But at the same time, true Christianity is a fight. It's a struggle to overcome sin, to stay focused on Jesus, to do what the Bible says do, to avoid the worldly influences, and so on and so forth. Jesus never said it'd be easy. It will be worth it. It's imperative that we cultivate a peaceful heart and confident mind. God is greater than any fear and all its cousins. Depression, anxiety, panic, and worry, to name a few. If fear and worry has become a constant part of your daily life, it is time to change the narrative and take back your mind through the power of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. For I beseech you, brothers, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, you got to renew your mind. I've just told you, we need to take your mind back. We want to change the narrative and take back the mind through the power of Jesus Christ. God's truth and our obedience to Him saves lives. Amen? When does it save lives? Now. Now. Daily and now. God's truth is the way to eternal life. Join me in 1 Peter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself. He says, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it is strange that we do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, or debauchery, if you will, speaking evil of you. This will give you an account. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. What Peter is saying, what he's telling us, he's encouraging Christians to arm themselves with the same mind of Christ who suffered for us in the flesh. The phrase, arm yourself, is used metaphorically to mean that Christians should prepare themselves mentally and spiritually to suffer for the righteousness' sake, if it should be the will of God. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery darts of trials you are going to go through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to you in all the world. That's 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. See, we're going to endure the persecution for our commitment and our obedience to Christ. He said, but don't be surprised. God don't, Satan don't need to attack those he already has. He wants the one who are trying to, if you will, run from him and serve the Lord. But we must arm ourselves. He also tells us that there is no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's nothing we're going to go through in our faithful service unto the Lord that first is not new. Nothing, none of it's new. He's gonna be faithful to you, not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. You know? And when we are tempted, what we should do? We should be calling on the Lord. Help me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I know with you I have the victory over this. Or he'll give you a way out. And we have to see that way out. We have to be looking at the Lord so he can guide us out of this. So we have his promises. And he tells us that there's nothing new. So that means he's there and he's going to guide us out of it. And that there's, we can continue in our faithful journey with him. As we continue, you might be asking, what and who am I arming myself against? We mentioned that earlier. It's Satan and all his angels. We're arming ourselves to defend the godly way of life. Because that's what Satan is trying to take from us. He's trying to take eternal life away from us. But who is the enemy of mankind? Satan, the prince of darkness, the evil one, the devil, has many names. What if you discovered you have been entrusted with an invisible, invincible, incorruptible weapon? Would you use it? You might be asking, how do I arm myself against sin and the evil of the world? Well, I'm glad you asked. God's word is the most important weapon we have to fight our spiritual battles, stay close to the Lord, and follow him. Many of you could probably quote 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16 that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm telling you how. I just told you. How to arm yourself. Study. Okay? So you will know the truth. Because the world's got tons of pretty shiny advertisements out there of sin that wants to draw us in. Continue with verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So we can't be running around here shooting off at their mouth just as the world does, talking about basically ungodliness. It is simple. Study his word in depth. Apply his word to your life. That is your ammunition. And with that study, get understanding. And with that understanding, be obedient unto the word of God. If you are a child of God and are feeling seduced by temptation, or if you are of the world and wondering if there is more to life, I pray this will help guide you to seek God. The love of God, the love of his word, the whole armor of God, as well as the plan of God for your life. Amen? Depending on where you are in your relationship with God, and your knowledge of the Bible, it may seem daunting or even downright unappealing. But the Bible promises the more you study it, the more you'll see that God's Word is truth and is alive. With everything you need to fight your battles well. Seek God and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as he has spoken in Amos 5:14. We must live like we believe there is a God. If we are the children of God, we must live like it. We must show it. We must believe it. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 8. In our study, God even helps us and guides us into how we should think. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 8. Everything we need to be armed to fight against the evil one and all his enemies is in God's Word. That is our primary weapon. For those of you who may have been in the military or have some battle experience, there's always a primary weapon on the tank or on the ship or on the boat. There's a primary weapon. Our primary weapon in our life against evil is the Word of God. Philippians 4, verse 8. Meditate on these things. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, are of good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and God, the God of peace, will be with you. Okay, now you got a direction. You got a direction to go to arm yourself. Second Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped or armed for every good work. He's helping you. That being said, it's not always easy to arm yourselves with the Word of God. You know how it is. We all do. Life gets busy. Devil is nipping at your heels. And it seems like the worldly influences crowd out all your best intentions. We have that desire when we are going to be met with temptations and struggles. But in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, there's no temptation that is common to man that he won't make a way out. Okay? He will grant you the desires of your heart, Scripture says also. I'm telling you, God's Word is life. There's just so much rich truth and wisdom in it to help you in those everyday battles. You're not in here battling now. Not necessarily. It's when we get outside this, in the world, that our true battles and our true temptations, our true struggles reveal ourselves. Arm yourself or equip yourself with the Word of God. Help guide you and give you the strength, the courage to flee from sin and evil and the ways of the world and serve a God that died for you, that you may have a better life and a chance of eternal life with him. We got to run from sin. He says, flee sin. From the day we were born, we were being taught right and wrong. It wasn't until we obeyed the gospel that we learned what is righteous and glorifying to Christ. That's what we must strive to arm ourselves through his word with, so we can overcome the struggles, the temptations, all those things that are trying to take us away from that chance of eternal life. Here's some more ammunition for you. He said his word is the ammunition. Now he's gonna give you a defense. He's gonna arm you with armor. The whole armor of God. Join me in Ephesians chapter 6. He's gonna arm you for battle. He's gonna equip you for battle. As he offers you the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. We're gonna look at verses 10 and 11 and then 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. There we go. Too many numbers. So, and here we see the whole armor of God. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power and his might. Put on the whole, you say half of it, part of it, or just take a little of it. He says the whole armor of God. See how you're arming yourself with his word now? And now he's giving you some armor, which is his word still. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now see where who we're fighting against? Still, he reminds us who we're fighting against. Let's jump down to verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, again, telling us the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand the evil day and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And I feel like I'm riding around in a battleship destroyer that cover. I'm down in the bowels of the ship and nothing can get to me. I am armed. You guys have heard of body armor and armor tanks and everything else. I got the armor of God. I got it all. I'm covered. This armor of God. This begins with truth, righteousness, the gospel message, faith, salvation, the Holy Spirit, and concludes with the word of God and prayer. And the fact that God's word, the Spirit, is described as the sword, tells us it's a very powerful weapon indeed. Amen? We must put on the whole armor of God to be equipped or armed to fight off all the struggles of the world, temptations, and fiery darts of Satan who seeks to destroy you. Satan's out to get us. And through the word of God, we have the armor to fight him off. But we have to put on the whole armor. We know he's out to get us. We know he's out to get us. But now, with that knowledge, we have to find our armor, a way to arm ourselves to be able to stand against it. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if anyone I should attack, nothing will come of it. I created the blacksmith. Who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also created the destroyer. But no weapon that can hurt, but no weapon can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. God's decree. Glorify God, everyone. Nothing else. Nothing less. Pieces of the armor support us, encourage us, and sustains us. Finally, here are 7 non-negotiables to help for help of our todays and hope for our tomorrows. Seek God, not sin. Fear God, not man. Love God, not the world. 4, believe God, not the deceiver. 5, obey God, not your appetites. 6, serve God, not yourself. 7, worship God, not comfort. If we can apply these to our life as part of our armor, victory is mine. Victory is mine. There's a song that's in one of these song books, and that's where I'm going to stop because I don't want to offend anybody with my bad singing. Turn with me to James chapter 7, chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Here's what we must do to continue to be armed, to arm ourselves against Satan. Therefore, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Who? We must submit ourselves to God. That's plain and clear, undisputable. The heart, resist the devil, because, and that's clear and undisputable. The heart, that's the hard part there. He has so many enemies and so many people in his corner trying to deceive us. And that something, well, it was that old adage that said, all things shiny and bright are not good. Everything that's not good for you. This is an example of that. Just because you can afford a Corvette, don't mean you should be driving at 137 miles an hour. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what we want. We have to submit to God so he will flee. But he won't run if we don't commit to the Lord. See, I never, when I think about it, who's God's enemy? No one. God has control over everything and every situation and everyone. He either allows it to happen, he lets it happen, or he makes it happen. He's in control at all times. Satan sees God as his enemy. It's not the other way around. God is Satan's enemy. That's why he's trying to persecute us, trying to kill us, trying to steal our life and our joy away from us. But that's not how God sees Satan as an enemy. Remember, you have to remember too, Satan asks God for permission to do things. Satan is roaming the pews, suing, seeing whom he may devour, those who may be weak in the word or the power or unequipped to fight him off. God has given us the whole armor of God. We will submit to him. And finally, Our last way to arm and equip ourselves with the Word of God is to apply it to our life, our everyday life. It does us no good to know it and not use it. If we know, if we have that, what was that in the earlier class I was talking about? What would you use that invincible, uncorruptible weapon? Well, that weapon is the Word of God. You know it, use it. You know it, stand on it. You know it, count on it. You know it, live according to it. Everyday pray for God to increase your love and increase your faith and help apply the wisdom He gives. Make the effort to put the scriptures into practice. That's the only way to become effective against the fiery darts of Satan that is out to destroy you and your opportunity to have eternal life. Even the simplest things like trusting Him more, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Praying continuously, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And spending more time with fellow believers to encourage and build each other up, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, as well as Colossians 3 and 16, can make a huge difference in your ability to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. You're armed. You just have to apply it. You have what you need to fight the good fight. You are equipped with the whole armor of God and the Word of God that saves your life. Let's turn to Romans. We'll look at Romans 8, 37 through 39. I didn't give you a lot of scriptures in the Sunday school lesson. We didn't quite get to them. I'm going to give you an abundance, a little overboard here now. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at verse 37 and 38. Yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We got the victory, gal. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, which is what we're fighting against, neither present nor the future, nor powers, nor any power, neither any height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? If we stay in the Word of God, if we submit to Him entirely, and could stay completely armed or equipped, however you want to look at it, nothing can separate us from Him. We can't be separated from Him. We're more than conquerors. What is a conqueror? Somebody who's victorious. We have the victory over sin if we arm ourselves accordingly through His Word. The purpose of all of this is that we might live a life glorifying to God in our service to Him and to draw all men unto Him. Reward. Victory and reward. In James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the one who has persevered under trials because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. See, we seek eternal life in heaven, but we have to arm ourselves, fight the good fight, weather the storm, overcome all the temptations and challenges that we said was in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 to 13, to receive a chance of eternal life. I said that in the early part of the lesson. That Satan is trying to steal that from us. And I said, why are we going to let him do that? You have the victory. You have all the tools. You're equipped to win that battle. We're more than conquerors, it says here. To fully arm yourselves against evil, Satan, and sin, you must come to Jesus. Commit to living life on His terms and not the world's terms. We hear it all the time that those people were in the world. We all came, like I said in the beginning, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay? So we have to commit our lives to living our lives on God's terms, not on the terms of the world. The greatest invitation ever extended to a man was not by a civil government ruler, a benefactor of mankind, a movie star, a rich man. It was extended by a poor, wandering preacher named Jesus of Nazareth. He brought eternal life, a chance of eternal life to us. His invitation touches our hearts, draws us to Him, and offers us eternal salvation. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for us all, we should have a chance of hope. You died for us all, so we may have a chance of eternal life. Just that alone should motivate you to change your life and arm yourself. We don't know what is ahead. There's mountains, there's valleys, there's hurdles, there's obstacles, there's haters. Many times we feel overwhelmed, trapped, and there's no way out to go. No way out. God is always there. He is your way out. Amen. The God we serve arms, equips us, and directs our path if we let Him. Gotta let Him. The Lord wants you to obey Him and make your life a living sacrifice to Him and to Him, and to that you must believe Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized, immersed in water, and your sins will be washed away. You become a new creature. Remain faithful. I didn't say faultless. I said remain faithful